Oh, you could be in the church today. You know not Christ as your Savior. You've never repented of sin, but you're resting in actually being here. You're resting in the outward ceremony of praise and prayer and preaching and reading the Word of God. You're resting in that outwardness. But that outwardness only points to the one who you should be trusting, the Lord Jesus Christ. We do not rest in the preaching for salvation. We do not rest in singing for salvation. We do not rest in coming together in a place such as this for salvation. These things, as we come to worship God, point us to Christ. And you should be resting upon the Savior.
Welcome to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of Cloverdale Free Presbyterian Church. I'm Pastor Andrew Fitton, and I'm delighted to welcome you to our program today as we seek to preach the fullness of Christ to sinners in all their need. Been listening to When I Survey the Wondrous Cross, produced by the Free Presbyterian Church. We thank you for joining with us today as we consider afresh the message of Christ, which is the message of the glorious gospel of God. The gospel of God is centered or focused upon the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, that cross upon which he finished the work of redemption for his people. Are you resting in that finished work today? Can you say, yes, Christ is my Savior. Christ is my Redeemer. Upon him I have cast my sin, knowing that through his great sacrifice upon Calvary, he has forgiven me and cleansed me from all my sin. We're going to consider today the first part of the message entitled, Our Precious Lamb, upon the cross. Taken from the words of Isaiah the prophet, in Isaiah 53, who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid as it were our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray, we have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living, for the transgression of my people was he stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked, and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him, he hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see of the travail of his soul, and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors.
The hymn writer wrote the words that we sang not so long ago. Man of sorrows, what a name. For the Son of God who came, ruined sinners to reclaim. Hallelujah, what a Savior. Oh, the joy that was in the heart of the writer as he thought upon the Savior, as he took that title of Christ that we see here in Isaiah 53, the Man of Sorrows. And dear believers, Sunday, or as many Christians refer to it, the Lord's Day, is a weekly reminder of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. The resurrection of the one who was delivered for our offenses and who rose again for our justification. And today, as the Lord's table is spread before us, we also remember specifically his death till he come. And this is a commandment of Christ. We are to remember the man of sorrows. We are to remember the one who bore our sins. And as we considered at the adult Sunday school a few moments previous to this service, it is a command to every believer to remember his death till he come. And it is a command for you and for I to join with us today at his table to remember the man of sorrows who died for us. And the death of the Lord Jesus Christ upon the cross at Calvary and his subsequent resurrection from the dead form the focal point, the foundation, the pivotal point of the gospel of Christ. It was the Apostle Paul who wrote to the church at Corinth, and he said, "For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received." In other words, he's saying, I preached to you a message that I first received, a message he received from Christ, the message of the gospel. And he said that this message is how the Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. And those two words, Christ died, they are the foundation of our faith, the foundation of our salvation and redemption. If Christ had not died, where would our souls be? And we ought never to deride or to reject these two great and spiritual truths. Christ died, and of course Christ rose again. We should believe the Bible. We should believe what the Word of God teaches us, because every last word is the truth of God. And therefore, when we come to consider the death of Christ, it was a real death. It was a death by which the Savior died for the sins of his people. A death that redeems us. And the chapter that we have before us today is called, in some ways, the Gospel of Isaiah rather than the prophecy of Isaiah, because it relates to us a clear revelation of the sufferings of the Lord Jesus Christ. Isaiah is writing to the Jews about their unbelief concerning the death of the promised Messiah. And he says, who hath believed our report? Who hath believed our report? There was unbelief concerning the Messiah. And is that your attitude today toward the Lamb of God who gave himself upon Calvary, who sacrificed himself? Unbelief. Unbelief concerning what happened. Unbelief regarding that he died for your sins. Oh, that you would believe today with all your heart in the glorious Savior, in our Lord Jesus Christ. Why is there unbelief? Why is this report not believed? Isaiah is bringing this report to those who knew something about the promised Messiah. He wasn't coming and declaring a new king and an unknown king and declaring something the people knew absolutely nothing about. But he was speaking of the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who had been promised, the one that they looked for, the one that they could remember and reflect and see in Scripture was promised by God back at the Garden of Eden. But they did not believe this report. And why? Well, there are many reasons why this report was not believed. There are many reasons why the gospel of Christ is not believed. Firstly, there's a resting of hearts in outward ceremonies, as if these ceremonies were ordained for them and not to point to any other thing. We can think that of Judaism. And in the religion of the Jews at this point in time, they rested in the outward ceremony. They rested in what they could see, in the sacrifices that Hebrews tells us could never take away sins. They rested in those ceremonies, as if those ceremonies were what they had to do to have favor with God, and that these ceremonies did not point to something else. But they did point to something else. They pointed to Christ. They pointed to the Savior. Oh, you could be in the church today. You know not Christ is your Savior. You've never repented of sin, but you're resting in actually being here. You're resting in the outward ceremony of praise and prayer and preaching and reading the Word of God. You're resting in that outwardness. But that outwardness only points to the one who you should be trusting, the Lord Jesus Christ. We do not rest in the preaching for salvation. We do not rest in singing for salvation. We do not rest in coming together in a place such as this for salvation. These things, as we come to worship God, point us to Christ. And you should be resting upon the Savior, upon the Lamb of God who taketh away the sin of the world. Some would say there was a lack of interest in the coming Messiah. There were pious and godly Jews, but they only looked for his coming. There was a lack of interest. We see that today concerning Christ, do we not? A lack of interest in spiritual things. A lack of interest, maybe in your own heart and life. There's more exciting things to consider. The hockey season is just around the corner. There's entertainment galore available for you today to enjoy. Oh, Christ, he set aside. There's a lack of interest. The preaching and teaching of Scripture, the reading of God's Word, that coming and worshiping God, it's boring, many say. There's a lack of interest. It's not needed. It's not needed. There's a hatred of the prophets. The prophets pointed out their sins, the sin of the people, and they had issues then listening to everything else the prophets said about the great Messiah. Oh, your sin can be pointed out. The sin and wickedness, that is part of your life and part of your person. But you need to keep listening, because that sin can be dealt with by the Lord Jesus Christ. The Jews had an erroneous view of who the Messiah would be, this physical deliverer from the Romans who had set up an earthly kingdom. And today the same thing can happen. You can have an erroneous view of Christ. He's not God. He wasn't real. He doesn't really forgive sins. It's not necessary to trust in him. All these different opinions and these views and beliefs as to who Christ is, it turned many away from believing the report. There can be pride. Pride in understanding. Pride in not admitting that we're sinners. Pride that keeps us from believing in a Savior who humbled himself for us. There were those, thinking of the Gentiles now, who didn't believe the report because Christ was unaccepted by their pagan religion and society. In certain places, as we know from history, it was a crime to follow Christ. It was a crime to live for the Savior. And today, is it easy to live for Christ, to stand for him in a world that hates him? Oh, how many turn aside because Christ would not be accepted. How many children and young people turn aside from Christ? The Christ their parents follow, the Christ they're taught about in church, the Christ their family follows, because they know their friends would never accept it. The hard conditions, there's ignorance concerning what Christ has accomplished. There can be a careless security. Many who think that they are well enough in Christ or in life without Christ. Many who believe they don't need their sins forgiven. But let me say this, the table we have before us today is a table that sits in front of us and reminds us of the truth that all men need the Savior. That we needed Christ. That we needed his salvation. This table reminds us of the need for Christ's salvation in your own life and in your own soul. What did God say to the rich young fool? Eat, drink, and be merry, the fool said. But God said, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. There was no interest, a careless security, thinking all is well. And God said, tonight is your time. This table reminds us that our security in life is not in ourselves. It's in Christ. It's in the Savior. Be a hardness of heart. There can be a self-confidence. Oh, do these things we're saying, do they describe you? You've not believed in Christ. You've not trusted in Christ because you think all is well with your soul. Oh, that you would believe this report. And this morning, we find the prophet moves into describing the Savior and describing what he suffered for us. And I want us to consider our precious Lamb upon the cross. Our precious Lamb upon the cross. As we come to the table of the Lord, we are remembering our precious Lamb. The Lamb of God who taketh away our sin. And I want you to see, and the outline is in the bulletin for you to follow along. We see firstly here that the Lamb of God experienced sorrow for us. The Lamb of God experienced sorrow for us. Verse 3, he is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows. And this term describes the height of misery that the Savior suffered. He was the Almighty Son of God, the Creator of heaven and earth. But he left behind that glory and he left behind that splendor. And he came to earth to become man. We have in view here the humiliation of Christ, the humbling of Christ. Christ, who was God, who became man and humbled himself. The book of Philippians chapter 2 tells us he made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Christ suffered as a man. He experienced the hardships of life. He was tempted like as we are. He knew what it was to face hunger and thirst. He faced the sorrows of this life. Jesus wept at the grave of Lazarus. Thomas Manton said this, that Christ was so extremely mean, not meaning a mean, nasty person, but mean in regard to who he was and his life. He wasn't rich. He did not have the luxuries of life. That's what it means. Christ was so extremely mean and miserable. Again, meaning the same thing, that it was impossible to be lower as a man. That statement we could take the wrong way as affecting the Godhead of Christ. But what it means is that in life, Christ had nothing. As a man, he had nothing. He was the one who created this world, but he came into this world as a man to nothing, a poor and lowly reputation. He humbled himself and was made in the likeness of men. He humbled himself unto death. The psalmist said, Psalm 22, verse 6, but I am a worm and no man, a reproach of men and despised of the people. And we see this despising. We see this rejection in Isaiah 53. He was rejected by the Jews. They cried out, away with him, away with him, crucify him. And Pilate said unto them, shall I crucify your king? And the chief priests answered, and they cried out, we have no king but Caesar. Caesar's our king. And when we think of the Roman government of that day, the Jews were oppressed by the Romans. They looked for a Messiah who would deliver them physically from the rule of the Roman Empire. And they cried out so that Christ would die, so that Christ would suffer. They cried out in their sin, we have no king but Caesar. We have no king but Caesar. It would be like you spending your life criticizing Justin Trudeau, saying everything against him, pointing out where he was wrong and how he could improve and the things that he said, pointing out all this wrong about him, and then eventually turning round and comparing him to another politician and saying, I have no king, I have no leader but Trudeau. Something's wrong. You've completely changed your mind. You spend time criticizing one man, and now you've turned around in rejecting another for the man that you criticized. They had no time for Caesar. No love for Caesar. He was that symbol of oppression. A king set up by the Romans, but they turned and rejected Christ by saying, we have no king. Caesar's our king. Caesar's our king. Oh, is that the attitude of your heart today when you think of Christ? There's no king but you. There's no king but Caesar. And the Caesar of your heart can be many things. The Caesar of your heart can be the pleasures of this world. It can be the sins you enjoy. Those things that keep you away from Christ. You have no king in your life. No Christ in your life because Caesar's your king. Oh, that you would turn and consider Christ and not let the flesh and the devil rule your heart, but turn to the Savior. He was despised. He was not esteemed. There was a great contempt for the Savior. Here's an object of scorn and hatred. Said of the Savior, the Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, behold, a man gluttonous and a winebibber, a friend of publicans and sinners. They criticized him. They poured scorn upon him. They afflicted him. The perfect, spotless Lamb of God, the one who would die in our place, and he was a man of sorrows. A man of sorrows. He was acquainted with grief. Never freed from that grief, from the cradle to the cross, he experienced grief. He suffered great agony in the Garden of Gethsemane. His soul was sorrowful unto death. For you,
Today, Charles Haddon Spurgeon, in his devotional, brings us to Ezekiel chapter 34, verse 26. I will cause the shower to come down in his season. There shall be showers of blessing. Here is sovereign mercy. I will give them the shower in its season. Is it not sovereign divine mercy? For who can say, I will give them showers, except God? There's only one voice which can speak to the clouds and bid them beget the rain. Who sendeth down the rain upon the earth? Who scattereth the showers upon the green herb? Do not I, the Lord? So grace is the gift of God, and is not to be created by man. It is also needed grace. What would the ground do without showers? You may break the clods, you may sow your seeds, but what can you do without the rain? As absolutely needful is the divine blessing. In vain you labour, until God the plenteous shower bestows, and sends salvation down. Then it is plenteous grace. I will send them showers. It does not say, I will send them drops, but showers. So it is with grace. If God gives a blessing, he usually gives it in such a measure that there is not room enough to receive it. Plenteous grace. Ah, we want plenteous grace to keep us humble, to make us prayerful, to make us holy. Plenteous grace to make us zealous, to preserve us through this life, and at last to land us in heaven. We cannot do without saturating showers of grace. Again, it is seasonable grace. I will cause the shower to come down in his season. What is thy season this morning? Is it the season of drought? Then that is the season for showers. Is it a season of great heaviness and black clouds? Then that is the season for showers. As thy days, so shall thy strength be. And here is a varied blessing. I will give thee showers of blessing. The word is in the plural. All kinds of blessings God will send. All God's blessings go together like links in a golden chain. If he gives converting grace, he will also give comforting grace. He will send showers of blessing. Look up today, O parched plant, and open thy leaves and flowers for a heavenly watering. You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak. I'm Pastor Andrew Fitton, and we want to thank you for joining us today. Let the Bible Speak is a ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of Cloverdale, located at the corner of 188 Street and 58 Avenue in Surrey. Our website is cloverdalefpc.ca. Our Sunday services take place at 10:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. We meet for Bible study and prayer on Wednesdays at 7:30 p.m. and we warmly invite you and your family to join with us as we seek to preach Christ in all his fullness to sinners in all their need. You can contact me at pastor.cloverdalefpc@gmail.com or by phone on 604-576-1091. Again, our website is cloverdalefpc.ca. And it contains all the information for our church and radio ministry. We invite you to join us again tomorrow at 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. for the preaching of God's precious word.